Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for y'all ordained me to tell you the truth. And this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He is our judge. He is our lawgiver. And Yah is our only savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah for giving me the opportunity to once again bring to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. Yesterday, we wanted to let the people know that, make no mistake about it, even though it might not look like it, even though it may not feel like it, but our people should emergency. And what is the emergency of our state? Well, the emergency of our state is the fact that we know the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is the Creator is angry, not just with Israel, but with the world, all the inhabitants thereof. And let me show you why the Creator is angry, and why he's so justified in his anger. In the book of Isaiah, the 24th chapter, this is what it says. In the first verse, "Behold, Yahweh makes the earth empty, makes it waste, turns it upside down, and scatters abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him." In other words, everybody, nobody is exempt from the anger of Yahweh, because his anger is justified. "The land shall be utterly empty and utterly spoiled, for Yahweh has spoken this word." And you're going to see what Yahweh has to say about the earth and its inhabitants. "The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore has the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left." And this is what's going on today. The earth is totally defiled under the inhabitants thereof. And Yah is not pleased with this thing. And he's really not pleased with his people, who he has given dominion rulership over this great planet. And yes, we don't have dominion today because that was taken away from us. But you would think we never want dominion, period. The way we have conducted ourselves in our punishment. Just think about your children. When they know they have misbehaved, they know they have not followed your directives, they know that they have not pleased you, but yet they will be haughty and prideful and boastful as if they were children who did right. But yet, they knew that they were wrong. And they were given instructions, your children, on their punishment. You may have told your children, look, do not leave this room. Do not play with your games. Do not get on that phone. Do not such and such and such. In other words, you gave them instructions concerning their punishment. Well, this is exactly what Yahweh did to us. He gave us instructions concerning our captivity. And just like a haughty, rebellious, prideful child, spoiled, thinking that his consequences would not affect him of his actions, and that this thing will come to an end and he will survive it. Well, just like many of our children are wrong, so are we. And Yahweh made it crystal clear. If our uncircumcised heart be humbled and we accept of the punishment of our iniquities, then he will remember the covenant that he made with our fathers. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, we have not humbled ourselves. Yesterday we discussed and talked about how, as a people, we can humble ourselves. And what we at the House of Israel, 1907 Vine Street, and abroad have collectively came together to do is fast. Fast for our iniquities, and not just ours, but the iniquities of our fathers, that we might appeal to the mercies of our living Elohim. And we have enter into a covenant to fast 40 days and 40 nights. And yes, you heard it right. Fasting 40 days, and after the 40-day fast, we will then begin to fast 40 nights. And if you don't know the significance of this, then I encourage you to study in your scriptures why 40 days and 40 nights was so vitally important. Every time you read about it, it was to bring about destruction. And there were certain things Yahweh would do to stop and staff off something being destroyed. And if it wasn't done, the thing that he had purposed to be destroyed, it was destroyed in that time, 40 days, 40 nights. This is why we are discussing the instructions of captivity, part two. Part one, we dealt with, we must humble ourselves. It's not irony that one of the greatest prophets that ever lived was one of the men that inspired us to fast 40 days and 40 nights, because he did it twice. But there was something else about this man that was so great. And let me show you about this man. First of all, the very first thing before we get into the second instruction of captivity. This is the first one. You got to humble yourself. And we're going to read where this is. But in the book of Numbers, the 12th chapter, and I want you to see this. And what are we talking about? The scripture says, where there is no vision, but happy is he that keep the law. And we're speaking about the law. Little do people know this is the law. The word law means instruction. And what are we speaking about? The instructions of captivity. This is what we were to do when we find ourselves in our enemy's land. And this is something that we have not done, being in our enemy's land. And this is why I'm telling you, this is what we're doing. Because we know Yahweh is justified in his anger. In the book of Numbers, the 12th chapter, this is what it says. The very first verse. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moshe because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, has Yahweh indeed spoken only by Moshe? Has he not spoken also by us? And Yahweh heard it. And of course, many of the teachers today, instead of working together with one another on the word of Yahweh, or thus says Yahweh, every man is right in his own eyes. And everybody under the erroneous impression, just because they can pick up this book and read it and tell people precepts of it, or just because somebody told them they can teach, that Yahweh has sent them. And this is not the case, which I'm going to show you. This is not the case at all. When Yahweh selected man, he selected man through his spirit. And he gave this man the tools to be able to teach his word. That's why Yahweh said he will do nothing but what he first revealed unto his servants, the prophets. And I'm here to tell you, all these teachers, they don't have the tools. Why do you think the people are being caused to err? It's because the leaders. Watch what it says. And they said, has Yahweh indeed spoken only by Moshe? Has he not spoken also by us? And Yahweh heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And Yahweh spoke suddenly to Moshe, and to Aaron, and to Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of the congregation. They three came out. And Yahweh came down in the pillar of the cloud, stood in the door of the tabernacle, called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, Yahweh, will make myself known to him in a vision and will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moshe is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the likeness of Yahweh shall he behold. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moshe? And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against them, and he departed. And I'm here to tell you, Yahweh's anger is kindled today. But why was this important to read and to note? Because Moshe was the meekest man on earth. The meekest man in Yahweh's house. And what did the word meek mean? Well, the word meek is another word for humble, humility. He was the epitome. He was the example. He was the standard for meekness and humility and humbleness. And that's very important to have, because there is no other path to Yahweh except through meekness. That's number one. Yahweh said, if you're going to be with him, let me show you what he said you must do. In the book of Micah. For some reason, I can read this all day, but it's not going to penetrate the rebellious. They still going to be haughty and prideful. But Yahweh, there's no path to Yahweh being haughty and prideful and arrogant. Watch what the Creator said in the book of Micah 6, chapter the 6th verse. Well, we're going to go right to it. Today's verse. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does Yahweh require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your Elohim? See, that's how you must begin and learn to walk. This is the type of attitude and behavior. This is the type of spirit. This is the type of heart that Yahweh is looking for. There is no path to Yahweh except through humility, through humbleness. And that's part one. And Moses was the meekest man on the earth. That's why when Moshe prayed for Aaron and Miriam, Yahweh healed them. That's why when Moses prayed for the children of Israel, he did not destroy them. And oftentimes when Moses prayed, one time Moses prayed and asked to see Yahweh's glory. And you know what Yahweh did? Yahweh showed Moses his glory. Because once a man learned to become humble, find humility, understand meekness, then to the Most High. This is why we have come together and we asking others. We're fasting 40 days and 40 nights. The scriptures say, gather my saints together unto me. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. What is your sacrifice to Yahweh as one of his saints? What is your sacrifice? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to give up? And what are you giving up that will make you a better man and a better woman? Well, Moses fasted, and so are we. But that's part one. And the reason why that's essential, because of part two. Let me show you what number two is, so you can understand how essential number one is. If you go to the book of 2 Chronicles, the 15th or the 7th chapter, 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, and I want you to see the 7 instructions that Yahweh gave us for captivity. And this is what it says, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, and the only one that talk like that is Yahweh, which are called by my name. You'll never read the Quran. You'll never read the New Testament. You'll never read these other books talking about if my people. My people this and my people that. Only the Holy Scriptures. Watch what it says. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. That's number one. We have to humble ourselves. So, brothers and sisters, there's no greater thing that you can do to get to Yahweh than humble yourself. And there's only one thing that Yahweh said. He will never, ever despise. And that's a contrite heart and a broken spirit. In other words, you got to be humble. He won't despise that. Therefore, we're breaking our own heart. We're not going to wait for our hearts to be broken in the very short time to come. We're going to break our own heart. In the midst of all the things we got to do, all the energy it takes to do it, we're going to fast. That Yahweh might see us, hear us, and repent of the evil that he thought to do unto us. And why? Because he's justified in his anger. Watch what it says. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, which is number two. And oftentimes people think just because they pray, Yahweh hear them. Just because they're talking to Yah, Yahweh is listening. Just because they ask for forgiveness, Yahweh have forgave them. No, that's not how Yahweh works. Yahweh is not like man. That's not how he operates. That's how he don't work that way. He's giving you the instructions on how you are to approach him. And the first thing, you got to humble yourself. And our people going every day in their little arrogant, prideful, haughty, misbehaving way, and then will pray to Yahweh as if they did nothing. No, you got to humble yourself before Yahweh, before Yahweh would even consider hearing you. And I know many of you tricked yourself in thinking Yahweh have heard you. I know that. But Yahweh said you got to humble yourself first and then pray. Why you think the meekest man on the earth was heard? And who was that? Moses. Why do you think out of all the people was praying at that time, he was the one that was praying and he was the one that was heard. Because Yahweh don't want everybody talking to him, because he know everybody is not going to be humble. And no matter what captivity we find ourselves in, Yahweh want that one. He's looking for that one that is humble enough for him to give ear to. That's why it takes so many of us, so that Yahweh can choose which one he will listen to. For example, if you go to the book of Nehemiah, because number two is to pray. After you have humbled yourself, and everybody that is praying is not humble. Matter of fact, everybody that's praying don't even keep Yahweh's laws. And Yahweh said, he that turneth his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. But the wicked don't care. They'll turn their ear from the law and still pray to Yahweh. Nehemiah, the ninth chapter, watch this. I want you to see this. Now, who is Nehemiah? Nehemiah, also a ruler of our people, coming out of the captivity of Babylon, the 70-year captivity. And as I stated before, Yahweh just don't listen to anybody. And watch what it says. Nehemiah, the ninth chapter, the first verse. Now, on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel was assembled with fasting. And we did that with sackcloth, and we're fasting now. And earth upon them. And I went around the country trying to get leaders to come and stand with us for fasting, sackcloth, and earth upon us. And many of them refused. And many of them lied. And many of them made excuses. Even though this is the way of our people. But watch what it says. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of Yahweh, their Elohim, one fourth part of a day, another fourth part they confess and worship Yahweh, their Elohim. And why did they do this? They did this because they knew Yahweh was justified in his anger. They knew this. And so now, this was their way for the record. For Yahweh said, let me show you this. I want you to see this. This is in the book of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. The instructions of captivity, part 2. And what is the second instruction? You got to pray. But you can't just go to praying without first finding true humility. Today, for 40 days and 40 nights, what our people, many of our people, or some of our people have come to do in the morning, where they not eating nothing, attempting to humble themselves before Yahweh, and then they pray. At evening, before they put anything in their mouth, they praying again in the state of humility, a state of affliction, to establish a matter in that day. And watch what the Creator said in the book of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, the 19th verse. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I said before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. And if the Most High have taken his time to call heaven and earth to make a record against us this day concerning life and death, concerning blessing and cursing, you don't think the Almighty has made a record of those who will humble themselves or not? And those who will humble themselves and pray and not? Yes. A record is being made in heaven and in earth this day. Those who humble themselves and those who will pray after they humble themselves, because they understood the instructions of captivity. They understood this. And we got to learn how to pray. And there ain't no sense of praying if you refuse to humble yourself. And I love our great fathers. Oh, and I want you to see this too, because I want you to see how justified Yahweh is in his anger. We should have been did this, let alone doing it now that we are in these last days. But I want you to see the justification for Yahweh's anger in the book of Psalms. Psalms, the seventh chapter or division. Psalm 7. And watch what it says. The 10th verse. It says, my defense is of Elohim, which saves the upright in heart. And this is what we're doing. We're trying to break our heart. This is what we're calling on you to do. There's no reason why we have to keep fighting and slandering one another. There's no reason why we have to continue on the cycle of division, unless you want to. But there's no reason to. And watch the 11th verse. Elohim judges the righteous, and Elohim is angry with the wicked every day. Every day. So as long as you continue to be wicked, Yahweh will continue to be angry every day until he decides no longer. And our people have been wicked every day. But we can change. And it starts with humility. And then we can pray. And right now, we're finding, we're searching, we walk in the steps in order to humble ourselves, that when we pray, Yahweh will hear us. Because his anger is justified. Our fathers from of old knew we would be in this predicament, in this condition that we find ourselves in today. So this is what he prayed as a result of what he knew would happen. And you'll find this in the book of 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. He knew it would happen. It did happen. And he already prepared. The answer for the very thing that he knew would happen. And this is what it says. In the book of 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. Verse 47. 1 Kings 8 and 47. And what are we doing? We're talking about and discussing part two of the instructions of captivity. Part one was humble ourselves. And part two, pray. But don't get it out of order. Because once you become out of order, you're out of order. And Yahweh don't like nothing out of order. As a matter of fact, that's all we've been, is out of order. 47 verse. Yet if they shall return to themselves in a land where they were carried captives, and this is where we are, and repent, that's talking about our humility, make supplication unto you in the land of them that carried them captives. In other words, that's our prayers. And watch what it says. We have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And I hear our people praying all the time, but they praying to get things, to receive things, to have things. But they're not praying about how perverse, how wicked and how sinful they are. And so return unto you with all their heart, with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto you toward their land, which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and the house which I built for your name. See, this was already set in motion even before we came into the land of our enemies. Then hear you their prayer and their supplication in heaven, your dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And brothers and sisters, just because you pray and he hear you, it still don't mean he will forgive you. Watch what Solomon says in the 50th verse. And forgive your people that have sinned against you and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against you, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. You notice that it didn't say nothing about voting. It didn't say nothing about protesting. It didn't say nothing about marching. It didn't say nothing about boycotting. But what it did tell us to do is to repent. Humble yourself. Pray and make supplication that the reason that we are in this condition is because our perverseness, our wickedness, and our sinfulness. And when will we humble ourselves to these facts? And when will we accept our punishment? And don't tell me you accepted something and you don't have no works to demonstrate your acceptance. All you got is lip service. What sacrifice are you willing, ready, prepared to make for the gross wickedness and perverseness that surely you have done? Well, we're fasting 40 days and 40 nights. What will you do? And yes, ours already started, but you can start now. Or whatever sacrifice that you deem worthy for the evil that you've done. And that's up to you. But the scriptures say, gather my saints together unto me. And why? Because those who separate, they said, they gather together. They think alike, look alike, walk alike, talk alike, and do things alike. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And there's many who stood up and say, look, I'm ready. I'm ready to accept my punishment. And that's beautiful. And Yahweh will be with you. Furthermore, speaking of prayers, and let me just finish off with 51. For they are your people, your inheritance, which you brought forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron. That's what Egypt was. And here are people going around talking about they Egyptologists and wearing all kind of Egypt stuff on them, as if Egypt was some ancient ancestry of our people. No. All Egypt was a sign and a wonder that Yahweh used to introduce himself to us. I want you to see this also. 26th verse. And now, O Elohim of Israel, let your word, I pray you, be verified, which you spoke to your servant David, my father. But will Elohim indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this house that I've built? Yet have you respect to the prayer of your servant and to his supplication, O Yahweh, my Elohim, to listen to the cry and to the prayer which your servant prays before you today, that your eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which you have said, my name shall be there, that you may listen to the prayer which your servant shall make toward this place. And listen, you, to the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear you in heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, Yahweh, please, when you hear, forgive. So this was not a prayer just for somebody to hear us, but this was a prayer for somebody to hear us and forgive us. And brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it. Our people need divine intervention. We need a divine intervention yesterday. We need divine intervention today. And make no mistake about it, in the near future, tomorrow, we will need divine intervention. And to receive divine intervention, brothers and sisters, we must do divine things. This is why we are fasting days and 40 nights. Because when we seen the great men of the scriptures do such a thing, we knew what we had to do. If that's what got Yahweh's attention, if that's what got Yahweh's ear, why would I fight with my brothers and so that we can see who's right and wrong? Yahweh is the one that's right, and everybody else is the ones that's wrong. So let's go to the one that is right. What's wrong with that? You say he's Elohim, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-hearing, all-forgiving, then let's go to him. And this is what we're doing. And we are appealing to the saints of the Most High, to the righteous, to the humble, to do the same. And oftentimes, a lot of people, as I stated before, they think Yahweh just hear everything and everybody know. The mass majority of the people are an abomination to Yahweh because they refuse to obey his voice. Yahweh has told us how to approach him, how to come to him, how to appeal to him. Now some will willingly break their heart, willingly break their own spirit, and they will enter into a fast, throw sackcloth, put dirt on their head. In other words, these are all forms of humility. They will rend their heart. Unfortunately, won't. Now, don't think just because you won't and you won't willingly do it, Yahweh won't hear you. I'll be the first to tell you, Yahweh will still hear you even if you do not follow these instructions. But let me show you how Yahweh will hear you. So you won't be confused about which one you want to choose. So, for example, you go to the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, and we're going to read the 2nd chapter. I just want you to see something. Let's start at the 23rd verse. Exodus 2 and 23. And this is what it says. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel groaned by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up to Elohim by reason of the bondage. And Elohim heard their groaning. And Elohim remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And you might ask yourself, well, I thought you said you had to humble yourself for Yahweh to get to Yahweh. And you do. Yahweh is not a man that he shall lie, nor the son of man that he shall repent. What do you think affliction is? The same word for affliction is the same Hebrew word for humility or humbleness or meekness. They come from the same Hebrew word. And either you afflict yourself according to the scriptures, or you get afflicted. But make no mistake about it. The affliction will happen. It's inevitable because there's only one path to Yahweh. There's only one way he's going to hear your cry. And let me tell you what your cry is. Your cry is your prayer. You just going to be crying praying. It's still a prayer though. And that's why we're telling you about the instructions of captivity part two. Because you're going to pray willingly or by force. You will pray. And look what it says. And Elohim heard the groaning. And Elohim remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And Elohim looked upon the children of Israel, and Elohim had respect unto them. And why? Because now he can hear them. Because they cry now. And anytime somebody have a child that's crying, even though he did wrong, even though he deserved all the crying and groaning that he's doing, he deserved it. At some point, your heart will become soft and you will begin to say enough. All right. I think you learned your lesson. I think I can spare you now. But you deserved everything that I did. And Yahweh is looking for our people to cry to him. Now some will cry, and that just means pray. Some will cry willingly, in a state of humbleness and meekness and humility that you put yourself in. Little do people know, just fasting 2 or 3 days is hard. But 40 days? And then to turn around after you do 40 days, 40 nights? And why? We want Yahweh to hear us. And if it was good for our fathers, shall it not be good for us? If Yahweh heard them, will not Yahweh hear us? If Yahweh forgave them, will not Yahweh forgive us? And if Yahweh accepted them because of their contrite heart and broken spirit, would not Yahweh accept us and not despise us, that he is so justifiable in doing? You're going to cry. Make no mistake about it. You will cry. This in the book of Exodus, the 8th chapter. the 8th verse. Then Pharaoh called for Moshe and Aaron and said, entreat Yahweh that he may take away the frogs from me, because Yahweh had plagued them with frogs, and from my people. And I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto Yahweh. And Moshe said to Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I treat for you? In other words, when shall I pray for you? And for your servants, and for your people, to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to your word, that you may know that there is none like unto Yahweh our Elohim. And the frogs shall depart from you, and from your houses, and from your servants, and from your people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moshe and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and watch what the scriptures say. And Moshe cried unto Yahweh because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. He cried, because that's what Yahweh is listening for. He's listening for your cry, which is your prayer. Yahweh wants you to call upon him. Yahweh wants you to cry unto him. But our people, they got this fake, false type of cry that really, it's a cry of arrogance, a cry of haughtiness, a cry of pride, but not a cry of humility. And Yahweh knows the different types of cries, just like you know the different types of cry of your child. You know some children, they hollering and crying, not because they are remorseful, they are hungry, they are sick. They doing it because they are rebellious, because you stopped them from doing something they shouldn't have been doing. And so they will cry about it and rebel against it and holler and scream to the top of their lungs, and you will allow them to do it, not realizing that's not the type of cry that Yahweh hears. Just show you the different types of cry Yahweh have to listen to. For example, in the book of Genesis, turn there. Guys, we're talking about the instructions of captivity part 2, which is to pray. In the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, and watch what it says. And I'm going to start reading Genesis 18 and 17. Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which shall do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of Yahweh to do justice and judgment, that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Now watch this 20th verse. And Yahweh said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, they cry. And because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done all together according to the cry of it, which has come to me. And if not, I will know. In other words, Yahweh wanted to see if this cry really the cry that I think it is, that came all the way to me, of this cry of wickedness, this cry of rebelliousness, a cry of perverseness, a cry of pride and haughtiness. Man, let me see if this cry altogether what I think it is. And surely, what did he do? Came down with his angel. Yahweh don't have to go down and see nothing. But he came down with his angels because he knew what that cry was. It was a cry that he didn't want to hear. And what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Yahweh destroyed it. Because Yahweh is listening for that cry. But it has to be the right type of cry. Because our people are crying in a manner that is not good. Let me show you another example in the book of Genesis. Genesis, the fourth chapter. And watch what it says. The first verse. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. And bore Cain and said, I've gotten a man from Yahweh. And she again bore his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of a sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yahweh. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of the flock and of the fat thereof. And Yahweh had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance failed. And Yahweh said unto Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And Yahweh said unto Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. In other words, once again, Yahweh is listening for your cry. And your cry is going to come, whether it's good or bad. Whether it's righteous or wicked. Whether it's humble or haughty. But Yahweh won't. He's listening for the cry of humility. Of humility. And this is what he's not getting from his people, even though this is what he's listening for. He's listening for this. This is why we are encouraging our brothers and sisters to humble themselves. Because either you humble yourself willingly on your home and cry to Yahweh, or Yahweh will humble you so that you will cry to him. It's up to you. Let me show you what I mean once again. In the book of Exodus, the 3rd chapter. Turn there. In the book of Exodus, the 3rd chapter, watch what this is. The first verse. Now Moshe kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of Elohim, even to Horeb. And the angel of Yahweh appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moshe said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when Yahweh saw that he turned aside to see, Elohim called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moshe, Moshe. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not near here. Put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place whereon you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Elohim of your father, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, and the Elohim of Yaakov. And Moshe hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon Elohim. And watch what Yahweh says. And Yahweh said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good land, a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey, place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Yahweh heard our cry. But this cry was not a cry of willing, voluntary will. This was a cry of help, a cry that one needed saving. And Yahweh heard that cry, because Yahweh is listening for that cry, especially from those who refuse to cry unto Yahweh. And we got too many of our people who refuse to cry unto Yahweh. But make no mistake about it. In the nearest of time, they will cry to Yahweh. Yahweh made that crystal clear. See, The scripture says there's no new thing under the sun. And what is that saying? That's saying what is now, it is what has been. And what has been is now. And the thing that shall be have already been. And Yahweh required that which is past. Anytime our people greatly sinned against the Most High, Yahweh became angry. And Yahweh removed them out of his land. And after removing them out of his land, when they cried unto Yahweh by reason of their bondage, Yahweh will hear them. But Yahweh saying, look, you don't have to wait to cry then. You can cry now that you might be spared. You can humble yourself now that I might hear and see you now, that I might hide you. But if you want to wait, that's your choice. That's your prerogative. So I'm appealing to Yahweh saints that you take what we're saying, what we're teaching, very seriously. Because Yahweh said he will return unto his people. But when he returns, he's returning with his anger. And I want you to see this for yourself. Watch this in the book of Jeremiah 23. I know our people think Yahweh just coming to save. No, but Yahweh also is coming to destroy. Yahweh is not just coming to deliver, but Yahweh is also coming to put down. Show you what Yahweh has said. We're in the book of Jeremiah 23. And this is what it says. We're going to start at the 16th verse. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, listen not to the words of the prophets that prophesy to you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of Yahweh. And this is what we try to tell our people. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy is he that keep the law, because the visions of our people are not the same visions of Yahweh. Our visions must come out of the mouth of Yahweh. And these are the instructions that Yahweh gave us that we must do when we find ourselves in our enemy's land. This is our vision toward him. They say, steal unto them that despise me. Yahweh has said, you shall have peace. And they say, unto everyone that walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. And I hear the leaders telling their people and telling their congregation, all of us going to be saved. Who said that? all of us going home. Who said that? No, that's not what Yahweh said. Regardless if you keep the laws or not, we all going to be saved because you can't keep the laws in captivity anyway. Watch what it says. No evil shall come upon you, for who has stood in the counsel of Yahweh and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? And watch what it says. Behold, a whirlwind of Yahweh has gone forth in fury. Why in fury? Why is it Yahweh so angry? Even a grievous whirlwind, it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. And there is no one that Yahweh has said that is greater in wickedness than his people. And why? Because it is his people who he gave his laws, his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments. He can understand why others will be wicked. But why would Israel be wicked when they know how to be righteous? We think this grievous whirlwind is only for our enemies. We think it's for the nations. But brothers and sisters, I have news for you. This scripture says that this grievous whirlwind, this thing that will fall grievously upon anyone's head, is called the wicked. And Yahweh said he will judge the righteous, and every day Yahweh is angry with the wicked. And watch the next verse. The anger of Yahweh shall not return until he have executed, until he has performed the thoughts of his heart in the latter days, you shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, speaking about his prophets, and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I an Elohim at hand, says Yahweh, and not an Elohim afar off? Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, Yahweh is justified in his anger. And Yahweh will return sooner rather than later. And you can listen to the vain teachers that you're listening to today. Teachers of no action. Well, we're telling you, Yahweh is looking for action. What will you do? What sacrifice will you make? Well, we're fasting. 40 days and then 40 nights. That's what we doing. Join us and cry to Yahweh. Because this great evil that the scriptures have already prophesied, already foretold, is already set in motion to come. And when, if not now, when will you humble yourself? So number one, humble yourself. Number two, pray. And then we will talk about part three, the instructions of captivity tomorrow. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Mercy, and it's love and kindness, 'cause I know that I ain't worthy.